We have, hi everybody.
Hi.
Full house. We have something very special this morning before I begin my talk. We would like to present to you all of our chaplains. Some of them have been in service for a while, some have been inactive for a little bit, and some are brand new. And so we have ordered and received new stoles for all of our chaplains, although they have the option of still wearing the stoles that were beautifully made by Susan and Jan. But we have new stoles to present to them and some books that we referenced in our refresher course that we had with each other. So I'm going to ask the chaplains that are present here today to come stand on the stage and just start over here at the speaker, and we'll see if we can get you all the way across. Some people are not with us today, but our chaplains are Molly Steele, Jan McGowan, Jan Govain, Susan Cranshaw, Cherie Burrows, Sherry Stockman, our newest chaplain, Cecilia Timone, Maggie Alderman, and Courtney Holton. Look at these, look at this beautiful. It's extraordinary for a congregation this size to have this many chaplains. And what they have, I guess I could even say sworn to do, if you can heart swear, pinky swear, cross your heart, hope to die. That's awful. We're not going to say that now. cross your heart, hope to live. They have taken your request for prayer as a sacred trust. And it is a precious thing to them, and I'm speaking on your behalf, for you to come to them and ask for a partner in prayer. And so they keep it confidential. They pray knowing the truth for whoever asks for prayer, knowing that they're holding the truth until the other person can hold on to that truth for themselves. They are very good at not giving you advice. So if you come up to a prayer chaplain and say, I really don't know what to do about my job, they're not going to tell you. But they are going to hold the truth, that your truth will be revealed to you, and they're holding the high watch for you as that happens. And so we're blessed to have you, all of you, to pray with us, to hold the high watch for us, to be a shining light of truth, to embody the practice of prayer, which is our conscious contact with God. So if Kit were here, she and I would be both putting on these white stoles today that have all the symbols of the major religions and spiritual practices in the world. And so, now if you don't like the color you get, talk amongst yourselves. And I'm pleased to present to you these books prayers for 1,000 years, with prayers from all spiritual disciplines for every occasion, for occasions we probably have not even thought of. You'll also have a little piece of paper in here that explains all the symbols that you're now wearing. And so let me just present these to you. There's a little something written on the inside for you. And so, beloved ones, we honor you and we thank you for taking on the sacred trust of being our chaplains. This goes for those who are not able to be with us today as well. Thank you for being available to us so that we might bring our hearts to you as partners in prayer. We love you and bless you. We appreciate you. We behold the Christ in you, just as you behold the Christ in us. Go forth now in this sacred duty, in this sacred honor, and be blessed. Amen. Amen. Since I got here to be with you just a little over 4 months ago, we've done a lot of growing and a lot of changing with each other, haven't we? The nature of our collective personality has changed. We have new people that have joined us. We have people who have come back that were not with us for a while. We've had people who have left us. And that begins to shift our consciousness. Many of you have participated in classes that challenged you to your deepest spiritual growth. And sometimes those changes that happen in our lives as we commit ourselves to our spiritual life are not comfortable. Sometimes it causes us to not feel well in our bodies, not to feel well in our minds, to be troubled and feel disconnected in our soul. And this is very natural and fitting expression of our changing truth inside us. So if the last couple of months you've been feeling like, what is this? I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to be with my friends. And I feel yucky sometimes. Yucky is a sophisticated word for what we call in unity chemicalization. Because as we begin to dislodge things that don't work for us anymore, our bodies go through a pretty serious shift. As we have losses in our lives, as things fall away from us, we grieve. As we discover patterns in ourselves that no longer work for us, it's hard work sometimes to begin to break that pattern. And so this series on grace this month is to give you some hope so that you don't lose sight of the fact that in the midst of all the changes, in the midst of all the chaos that you might be having internally, there is also, at the very same time, the operation of love and grace going on in your life. So you remember last week we talked about grace being the very same thing as love. It's part of the law. It's part of the law of God that grace exists. It's something that is bigger and better than even exchange. So we don't have to do anything to earn grace. Grace just is. Am I making that rumble?
No.
The Lord hears you.
Alrighty then, I better watch what I say. So I wanted to talk about grace this month because you must know this. If you're sitting here and you're not sure whether or not you believe in God, it doesn't matter. Because God is. God is as much as you are. God lives in you. God always has been. God always will be. God is not a separate entity. God lives in us, and God is the manifestation of everything we see in the world. God is. You have to clap when you say that. God is. I saw a skit the other day, and somebody was making their point just like this. God is. And so you cannot be in existence without God being a part of you, period. And grace is that part that may appear to us as some kind of synchronicity or coincidence that works out in our favor. It may appear to us as an idea that we had never had before that brings us a solution to our issues. Grace may appear as someone appearing in our lives that brings us a blessing. Sometimes grace is the smile of a stranger, the love of a little child. The love of a little child that comes from a little child, or the love of a little child that comes from a grown-up. I want to tell you something. We have an extraordinary group of men here at this church. Extraordinary. And yesterday, I got permission to talk about this. Because I'm a girl. I don't get to go to the men's breakfast. I could. They've invited me, but I've declined. So, yesterday they talked about a quote from Viktor Frankl, who said, I'm paraphrasing, that we have the power to choose between a stimulus and a reaction. And they discussed that at depth yesterday. God bless you guys. Because that's a lesson that all of us could work with. And sometimes grace for us is that moment that makes us hold our tongue before we say the words we shouldn't say, or react in a way that would not be loving and helpful to another. It's that moment where we have the breath and the waiting to decide, to choose how we will respond. And what happens then is that interior part of us, where love lives, where grace lives, has a chance to be activated. So that maybe what comes forth from us next surprises even us. You know, I've discovered that when someone has a complaint with me, one of my best responses is, what is it Leah and I say? Oh, isn't that interesting? Oh, that's so interesting. And one of our books about the five things you cannot change says that we listen intently to the person who has anger with an open heart. We just listen to their anger. That is not my first response. My first response is like, all right, buddy, bring it on. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, Bill. I'm just saying. Believe me, if you ever just need to be reminded how very, very human I am, you can talk to him or my kids. Because that is calling on a part of us that is greater. And it's good for us to be familiar with grace so that we might be using it. I'm going to talk to you about a couple of things in the life of Jesus. And remember last week I told you, don't be scared about the Bible. It's a book. Don't be scared about Jesus. Jesus was a historical man. Jesus was a man who, as far as we know, he's historical. It's only found in one historical writing, in the writings of Josephus. We believe that a historical man named Jesus, Yeshua, existed. There was also the man that was the teacher, and there was the man who knew his absolute divinity and transcended that. Now, if you believe in eternal life, just want to throw this out to you. If you believe that life didn't begin with this birth, that our soul life began some other place, some other time, if even time has relevance, and that it goes beyond. And beloved, we have had those who have passed beyond recently. And we believe that we know that they are fulfilling the next part of their spiritual life. So if that's true about our beloveds, then that is also true for the soul, the spirit of Jesus Christ. So think about that evolutionary spirit still present. If he was already that evolved as he walked the earth, imagine what that spirit is now. Wow. So Jesus was baptized in two ways. I did say baptism. I'm just going to knock down these terms one after the other because they shouldn't have weight that bothers us. If it bothers you, listen closely so that you cannot be bothered by this anymore. It doesn't matter if you got water sprinkled on your head when you were a baby. It doesn't matter if you got dunked all the way down in the water and brought back up. I was so sure I wasn't saved. I think I did it 3 times before I was 18. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm not saved. And I baptized adults as a symbol of their awakening in their spiritual life. So Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist. And that was the baptism of water. They were out in the river. John recognized him. They were cousins. He baptized him. That was the baptism by water. That was Jesus symbolizes for us having an intellectual awakening. Remember when you first came into your spiritual practice? You went, oh my gosh, this is really cool. I love these words I'm reading. I love these ideas I'm hearing. I love the liberation that I'm having. You have an intellectual acceptance of the spiritual truths. But then there's the baptism by fire. Ooh, yeah, I heard you. The baptism by fire is when something wakes up here. When something is, as they say in literature, quickened. When something wakes up. And we have a mystical experience that transcends the intellectual one we've been having. And that's when things start to get really fun. And sometimes that's when we also experience some discomfort in our body. We might have the flushing of toxins from our body. We might have waves of heat. We might have weeping that's unexpected. We might find ourselves more irritable, and we can't figure out why. So do you hear me saying that every part of the spiritual journey is okay? The important thing for you to do is to keep coming back to God's grace. Keep coming back to God's grace. Keep coming back. Because what's true for us is that every desire that we have is a desire to be closer to God. That's what it is to know God more, to know God better, to know that which lives in us and to let it live out. I heard a story just this morning of an act of grace in which a need was filled before there was even knowledge that there was a need. There's some grace for you. I heard another story about someone who was losing their job. And the next time we talked, I found out that the space between the job ending and the brand new job was exactly one weekend. Yeah. Now, this doesn't mean that everything always looks like roses and smells like roses. Sometimes we're in a dry desert for a while, and that's okay. God's grace is with us still. You know this, yes? See, the thing is, we have these three parts of our being. We have the subconscious, which is that template in which everything is poured on there. Everything of our childhood, everything in our dreams, everything that we encounter consciously or unconsciously, it impresses itself on our subconscious. That's why when we have memories that are painful or memories that are joyful, it feels as though it's happening right now because the subconscious doesn't acknowledge time. And then we have the conscious mind, the part of us that works while we're walking around. We hopefully works while we're walking around. And then there's the superconscious mind, the mind of God that is in us. And you see what's happened to us. Superconscious mind has been there the whole time, but the conscious mind gets distracted by things of the world. The conscious mind forgets. The subconscious comes in our dreams and brings us monsters and, you know, sad stuff and weird stuff that when we start explaining it, we say, never mind, this is too weird for me to even put my head around it. But, you know, sometimes you have those dreams that arise from your subconscious that stay with you for a whole day. Just let them teach you as much as they can and know that everything is not as it appears. So grace is the act of the superconscious working its way to clear out our conscious and subconscious so that everything is lifted up. Everything. Oh my goodness, I have so many things to say to you today in so little time. The misperceptions, I love this. Because of free will, error choice, we've absorbed into the cellular memory structure of the body and mind many error perceptions. These misperceptions have accumulated in the deep subconscious, forming a wall of resistance to the pure vibrations of spirit. This wall is known as the facade barrier. It's often referred to in scripture as the veil that must be torn. So healing through grace, which is our topic today, it comes when we make contact with the Christ mind within us and we allow it to pour its transforming energies into the deep soul levels of consciousness. Prayer and meditation are the ways to make this Christ connection. The only other requirement is that we become willing to surrender all memories that are not of the Christ vibration. Now, how's that for healing your childhood? And surrendering all those memories doesn't mean, I've got to let go of this, I've got to let go of that. It's just allowing it to be. It's just allowing it to be. Do you feel the energy of that? I was talking with somebody the other day who's in her early 70s, who couldn't move off dead center on something because of a message from her father when she was growing up. finally just said, that was decades ago. Decades. You deserve to feel better than you feel right now. I'm doing it. Whatever Dad said, let it be. Allow it to just hang out over here. It is nothingness. And move forward with your life. I said it nicer than that, just so you know. So, just want to tell you a few of the things that can block our being able to receive the superconscious, the mind of God, the act of grace. Negative thinking resulting from human perceptions or judging by appearances. Anybody experienced that in the last, say, 48 hours? Just a little bit of negative thinking. Thank you for being honest. Two hands went up. Thank you. Insistence of even exchange all the time blocks grace. Well, I did this, so I should get this back. I was nice to you, and you were a toad. Pretty sure grace can't squeeze into that space. The belief that we of ourselves must do all the work. Man. No, thank you, God. I've got this all figured out. Let me struggle a little while longer. Why should I lean on your grace when I'm so smart? So I would just ask you, how's that working out for you? The fear, here's a big one, the fear that the will of God might cause us some pain and suffering. How about that? If we dare to say, my will is the will of God, the will of God is my will, do you think that God is really going to take us into something that we cannot bear? Even if there is discomfort, even if there is grief, even if there is struggle, we are aligned with that which has our highest good in mind. Our highest good. So God never does anything to us to hurt us. We do things to us that hurt us. There's a beautiful piece of scripture from Revelation, and I'm sorry, I'm going to read this to you, but every time I hear it, I think of the priest in the movie Titanic, right as things were, you know, going down, and he was praying this prayer, but I just offer it to you because it's so hopeful. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne, the Christ consciousness, said, behold, I make all things new. I realize I've given you a lot of fast information today. If it feels like a mystery to you, that's okay, because grace is in the realm of mystery. Our trying to figure it out is also a block to our being able to receive it. But we cannot know the love of God without also knowing the grace of God. And what I would like to do is to lead you through, as our summary for today said, a Christ prayer. The Christ prayer is this. Listen to these words. Christ heals and reveals. I am silently trusting. Do you hear those Christ letters? Christ heals and reveals. I am silently trusting. So I would like to use that for our meditation today, if you'd be so kind. Just put yourself in a space that's receptive and open. Let your ears take in these words and know that they will fall into that space of your heart. You don't need to understand them right now. You won't forget. The sea for Christ, come forth, O Christ, and manifest thyself in me. Christ controlled, to thee I surrender. Thy will is my will. Christ, clear my mind. Christ's presence of love, peace, and healing power moves through my mind, body, and affairs. H for heals. Heal me at depth. Hold me in your will. Have thine own way, Lord. Holy is thy name. R is for reveals. Reveal that which needs to be revealed. Receptive is my soul. Revelation rents the veil. Reality fills the vision. I, for I am. I am inspired with divine ideas. I am infilled with divine love. I am in tune with the infinite. I am informed of my divine plan. S for silently. Sweet, sweet spirit, softly sweep my soul. Speak, thy servant heareth. Silently, I wait on thee. T for trusting. Truth is revealed. Thy will is done. Thank you, God. Trusting, I am. And breathe. And as you bring your awareness back to this time and place, know that you have been transformed. And so it is. Amen.